Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Now, Sydney, I don't know how you learned my nickname in high school, but here I see it at the top of your research document here, and I'm really touched that you would look into my personal life that much.
Your nickname in high school was CMOS?
Yeah, just CMOS, but like with a C, the letter C. And then it's M-O-Z is how most people spelled it. Like, what's up, CMOS?
What was that for? How did you that nickname come to be?
I didn't want to ask because my fear was that it was bullying. And I didn't want to ask for specifics. So I just accepted CMOS. That's me. That's my brand.
Okay.
It was a short period in high school, mainly in my media studies class. I was not well liked. But here we are today.
I mean, if it makes you feel better, well, I cannot think of any logical connection that might have to you or your name.
Mm-hmm.
I can't off the top of my head, because I was trying, come up with something insulting that it stood for.
Maybe it's just cool. Maybe I'm just a cool guy.
What do you know about CMOS, Justin?
Well, he is a complicated 13-year-old boy.
No. Oh. S-E-A.
Oh, nothing.
Okay.
Is it like sea glass? I know about sea glass.
I mean, in the sense that it is from the sea.
Much like chicken of the sea or...
Which is tuna.
Conchs. There's lots of sea stuff, guys. I could go on for days.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's really big.
The ocean. That's so true. And a lot of people forget about it. There is so much of it that's unexplored.
Yeah.
There is at least 5 to 10% of the ocean floor that we have not filmed in its entirety. At least 5 to 10%.
You know that number is way too small.
I don't know.
Yeah. There are people who are experts in that part of science who are listening to the show who are like, Justin.
Honey, if science people have not realized how much of Sawbones I spend just giving them like a little bit of a ribbing, just a gentle ribbing, then I don't know what podcast they've been listening to for these many years. Just having a little fun, Poindexter.
That's
what?
Okay.
Why is your skin so thin?
Hey, watch it.
Now I'm the jock. Now you're CMOS. Now I'm gonna take your pizza at lunchtime and let you just eat rolls and peas.
Don't take anybody's pizza.
Too late. I got them.
I had not.
Here's your pizza back.
I had not heard of CMOS from the TikToks, mm-hmm. from the social media myself. But
I've
one of
never
our listeners,
heard of it. When you said, have you seen these TikToks? I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I hadn't seen them myself. But one of our listeners wrote in. Thank you more, and sent us an email asking what was the deal with CMOS. And I was like, well, I have no idea. I haven't heard of it. So then I had to ruin my algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Yet again.
Yet again. For
hey,
you.
Hey, listen.
For you.
I've always felt bad for you, but if you saw how much of my TikTok is gamer pills at this point, it's pretty troubling.
That's on you. So I looked up what are people doing, and a lot of what I found were people on TikTok eating, they had big jars of a gelatinous substance and they were taking using a measuring spoon to like take a tablespoon out of it, which also like it's an unpleasant way to eat anything, mm-hmm. no matter how it tastes, because a lot of tablespoons are kind of shaped like they're deep.
It's
so
like
you
a,
can't
yeah,
just like
yeah. Eating out of a tablespoon is not a pleasure.
You got to get your tongue in
yeah,
there,
it's
you
not
know,
a pleasant experience.
And like dig it out.
Yeah.
And so it's, I mean, the whole thing is like, I mean, it's not my thing
it's
to watch.
It's fun if you're, if like, If you do it with peanut butter and you mm-hmm. pretend you're a bear, that can be fun to eat out of a tablespoon. But other than that, I can't think of many practical uses.
So what they're eating, or what they hope they're eating, what they think they're eating, is a kind of sea moss, specifically Chondrus crispus is the main, like, kind, that is the scientific name for the main type of sea moss that I think is credited with a lot of these nutritional health benefits.
Okay.
And by the way, most of the TikToks that I found were talking about, like, this is good for your skin. And then the other health claims they were making were those vague, like, health, wellness, balancing.
More energy, better digestion.
I mean, like, nothing very specific other than skin. Like, a lot of people think this is really good for your skin. But other than that, it was just sort of these vague kind of, you know, like a lot of wellness claims. Make you feel better.
Better. Generally better.
This is a specific species of red algae, the Chondrus crispus. Now, there are other algaes that you might actually be eating, and we'll get to that. But but this is kind of where this idea comes from.
Just sort of snuck in there?
Well, the word sea moss, or even like Irish sea moss, which is where the purported health benefits really started, isn't necessarily the kind that grows in Ireland or from Ireland or in any way related to Ireland. But the term Irish sea moss has kind of, like, people look for that as like, ah, this is the stuff, the good stuff, even if it's not really that. It does grow along the coast of Ireland. It also grows on rocky coastlines in the continental Europe and North America. So there's other places you can find this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it looks usually reddish is what people connect it with, red sea moss, although it can be like other colors. It can be darker purple. There are some yellow green varieties. Nice. But the reddish stuff that grows along the Irish coast is what a lot of people associate as like, that is the good, the good moss. That good moss.
That good moss.
Now in Japan, this is known as Tsunamata. So if you've heard of that in a supplement, because there are supplements that are marketed as the Japanese Tsunamata, it's the same thing. Also, carrageen moss, curly moss, gristle moss, pearly gristle moss, Dorset weed, sea pearl moss. These are all things you may see marketed to you that are the same thing. Jelly moss. These are all the same things. Okay.
Gross. Jelly moss is the worst sounding one so far, in case you're keeping score.
There's also some red seaweeds that are native to the tropical regions of the world that are sometimes marketed as Irish sea moss that are obviously not. There's a Jamaican drink called Irish sea moss, which is a different but related algae-based
This is like
beverage.
Did I talk about Siberian ginseng when I was doing the Gamer Pills episode? It's called Siberian ginseng. It's listed in the ingredient in a lot of these things. It's not ginseng. It's like a special kind of, I don't know. It's a different sort of thing altogether. It's not even ginseng.
There are articles out there. If you want to untangle all of this, I don't want to go into too much detail because I want to get into what are the health stuff and are they real. But there are articles written specifically to try to delineate sea moss from specifically Irish sea moss from like different kinds of red algae type things, like to sort of parse all this out because it's all kind of getting used interchangeably. And to some extent, it might not matter sometimes because a lot of these algaes might have similarities. But if you're looking for a specific type of moss, you probably want to look into that. Anyway, the main component is carrageenan. You may recognize that word because it's in a lot of stuff because it's gelatinous. So it's in a lot of like dairy products. It's in a lot of cosmetics. It's in a lot of medications. It's in infant formula. It can make things gelatinous. It gives things that texture.
Gross. Let's get rid of it.
It's very useful. This is the primary use case of this.
I don't like that
sea moss.
I don't like that texture though.
I don't know. Why do people start eating things that they see in the world? I mean, that's a great question.
It was there.
It was there and it was pretty. And so at some point, especially along the Western Irish coast, people started eating it and trying to use it for things.
I don't think we as a history, because a lot of their names are probably lost to history. I wish we were able to better lionize history's eaters that didn't make it. Because there had to be someone who's like, my thing for humanity is— I'm going to eat this.
Right.
And if I beef it, everybody knows, please write it down in history books that we don't eat this. But that will be my contribution. And then that guy next to me, he can try the next thing. But that will be my contribution to, like, the human condition, is that I know those kinds of berries will kill you.
Well, and some of it, I mean, that's how it works, right? And it's also how we develop, like, taste for things. It's why we prefer some taste to others.
Mm-hmm.
It was an evolutionary adaptation, because the things we don't like the taste of, sometimes it's because it's poisonous, and that was why we developed that aversion to it. And, mm-hmm. you know.
Makes sense.
Sea moss, for the record, as far as I can tell from people who have eaten actual sea moss, because there's so many supplements and gels and different forms to eat this in, and some of them are flavored like other things. Like, I saw somebody eating a mango-flavored one. So, like, what does that taste like? Well, I mean, it's going to taste like mango, I would assume.
Yeah.
But as far as I can tell, and I've not eaten sea moss, it would taste kind of like you would expect most things from the ocean to taste.
Salty.
Salty, savory, umami.
Ocean-y.
So, like, not something that you would find unpleasant for a lot of us. Like, I like that flavor. I appreciate that. I know that's not your bag.
It is not.
No. You don't, because you won't get sushi that's wrapped in seaweed.
Oh, it's the worst. I hate that. I hate it.
See, and I like it.
Yeah, but I hate it.
Well, but
give
I like
me those
it.
Soy wrappers. That's what treats me right. The pink soy wrappers. Oh, now see, my kind of, let me tell you about my kind of sushi. You got the pink soy wrappers. You got some rice. You got some fried shrimp. A little bit of mango in there. Now we're having sushi. Maybe a little bit of jalapeno. That's a power roll. That's my joint. Okay. That's sushi that we could all. I've been ordering the power roll so long at Taste of Asia. It's not on the menu anymore. I just pay for a roll that is the same price as the power roll used to be. And then I write, please make this power roll. It's not on the menu anymore. And they always hook me up.
They know you.
They know me.
They know you.
They keep the recipe just for me. They should call it the Justice Roll.
I've been expanding. I've switched it up recently and have actually started eating like real raw fish.
Mm. Sushi was invented the same year I was. Did you know that?
That you were invented?
Yeah.
Is that what you like to say? You were invented?
I did one of those TikTok apps. It says sushi came out my birthday. That does not sound right. That sushi came out in 1980 alongside the release of Justin McElroy.
That is not true.
That is just
maybe popularized in the U.S. or something.
Maybe. I don't know what it meant exactly.
That is not. There's no way that's true. Okay. So they started. I love this idea. So initially it was used as like a food source for your animals, which makes a lot of sense. I think I want to eat this, but I'm going to feed it to this cow first and see what happens. See,
yeah.
And it was a good way to like supplement food for animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually people tried it themselves and would eat it, would add it to food. I'm sure it provided extra flavor. They also used it for other things, like because it has this thickening ability, like you put it in stuff and it'll make it thicker.
Mm-hmm.
They would use it to like thicken inks. They used it to stuff mattresses and eventually medicine. Again, I feel like this is true for so many substances that we find multiple uses for. Eventually somebody goes, well, maybe it's medicine too. Yeah.
The flavor is definitely going to be part of that, right? We have a conditioning to think that things that taste bad can also be good for us, right?
I don't think it tastes bad. Like, I haven't tasted it, but from the reports, I don't think it does necessarily. I think it is I don't think that everybody likes umami.
Maybe strong flavor.
But it's a strong, yes.
Strong flavor.
Strong
right?
flavor. That's fair to say. That's fair to say. So.
Because if it was completely unappetizing, some of our like poison, our poison biology would probably kick in. But
sure.
You know.
Yeah. But from the 1800s, you can see like advertisements of people who are like trying to like sell it.
Sure.
As here is something that would be good for you for. A lot of like, you know, vigor, like energy, feeling better, like some non-specific stuff. But then specifically, you start to see doctors in the 1800s prescribing a carrageenan jelly. So like a sea moss jelly, basically, that has been made from they've extracted the gelatinous properties from the sea moss and are telling you, or in a broth sometimes, to take it for all manner of things like, do you have an ulcer? Do you have a sore throat? Do you have some sort of stomach problem? Because it was like mucusy, then people, gosh, I love the way people's minds work. The thought was that it probably soothed mucous membranes. It would soothe like your airways,
sure. Like
where the mucus came from.
Like cures like.
This is a this
gross
is,
and mucousy. I mean, cures gross and mucousy.
So I did not find that the doctrine of signatures specifically referenced. And when I say the doctrine of signatures, that's what I'm talking about. The concept in medicine that is
like cures like
not what we would think of in use in you know Western medicine today, but the idea that like cures like. So if you have the classic example, if you have a headache,
eat cauliflower because it looks like a brain.
Well, sure. Or walnut is that's usually what they would recommend. Eat a walnut because it looks like a brain, so it must be good for your head. So same idea. If you're coughing up mucus and you've got a lot of inflammation in your mucous membranes, eat the stuff that looks like mucus and it will soothe those places.
Of course, yes.
And so it was used a lot as like the same way we would prescribe like cough syrups or things like that. Like here, this is good for your cough. This is good for, you know, your congestion. This will help clear out all that mucus because it is like mucus.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if when you think about like how many cough medicines, like over-the-counter cough medicines are syrupy. They're not just liquidy. Like more and more today, they're just liquidy. But like they used to be like.
It was more like coating. You used to see that in a lot of like the ads. You'd see the like silhouette of the human being. And then as the liquid went down, it would like coat their esophagus in, I don't know, cooling, soothing. Mm-hmm. Medical relief.
So it was used a lot in these medical ways, like a lot of sort of folk medicine things were, not necessarily because there were studies that showed it was working. I mean, nobody was studying it. You were just,
right.
It was folk medicine. You handed down this information. Doctors at the time practiced folk medicine just like anybody else did. You know, I mean, yes, they were studying the human body, but a lot of this knowledge was just passed around from person to person. Specifically, sea moss became a really important source of nutrition during the Irish famine.
Mm.
And so that is where you see a lot of people eating it more is because it does, and we'll get into, it does have a lot of vitamins and minerals in it, which doesn't necessarily mean that if you have all foods open to you, you would use it to replace those foods. But if you are in a situation where your food supply is being cut off and you're not able to access foods because you're actively being starved, it would be a good alternative source. Okay. Not enough, but a good alternative. So you do see that. And then you kind of see the industry actually move because it becomes so synonymous with Ireland after a while. You see as people immigrate to the U.S., they bring like sea moss farming along with them. And so you see towns pop up across the U.S. where the Irish moss industry is becoming a real part of like that town, and that's what they do there. There's a lot of Irish immigrants, and they farm sea moss,
sure,
and sell it. This became, and again, while yes, there are these medicinal thoughts and these food uses, the main reason people are farming sea moss at this point is because of carrageenan. So before we had that, we would use isinglass, which is a substance that you get from fish, specifically from their swim bladders, to thicken things. And you could thicken desserts.
Man, you think about these times when this guy's just looking at a fish bladder, like, I don't like to eat this. There's got to be something. Can we rub it on something to see if it helps? There's got to be something we could do with this.
What do we do with this stuff? Well, we thicken desserts with it.
Yeah, great.
We'll
hungry.
We'll use it for a jelly.
Who's hungry?
Use it for a pudding.
Let's invent flan.
There are a lot of desserts that were made with this fish.
Flan is not made with gelatin, but
no, you get but the idea. But there are a lot of desserts made with this fish bladder substance, and then that was replaced in many cases by carrageenan because it's cheaper and easier to make. Mm-hmm.
Sounds kind of like gelatin in usage, mm-hmm. like that.
It's very similar, yeah. Very similar. And I mean, today it has largely replaced that. Not completely. There are still some uses for that and some desserts that are traditionally made using that substance from fish bladders.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard of, not the fish bladder, I feel like I've heard of a seaweed version of marshmallow, like marshmallows and other things where you would typically have a gelatin application.
This is, well, and I think if you are familiar with this concept, any kind of like algae or seaweed kind of thing is being used to thicken or like as a replacement for that in like modern vegan cuisine and that kind of thing.
The physical characteristics of it rather than the nutritional.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that is where you're seeing the roots of this here. Mm-hmm. So that's where this idea starts. And now like how many different things have we replaced in order to, if we are trying to like follow a vegan diet,
you know,
with this so that we're not using fish bladder or some other animal product like gelatin, you know, we can use this instead. Now that is the place where, and by the way, I should just say like today, before I get into all the purported health benefits, there's still Chondrus crispus. For a while, this sort of, commercial use and the widespread, like, oh, this is great, we need to replace everything with this, it overfarmed the areas where it grew naturally.
Oh, okay.
And there was a lot of trouble, like, one, trying to find methods to collect it. It was initially, of course, collected by hand, and then they created, like, these big rakes that would extend from boats, and then you could, you know, troll along the areas where it grew and collect it with these rakes. Even that wasn't keeping up, and they were overfarming it. They started growing it in tanks eventually. And then you see the replacement of just this one species with other species of sea moss. So it's not all necessarily like the Chondrus crispus anymore. So there are other ones that they found were easier to grow in tanks, like Euchuma is you'll see that on a package sometimes, and it's very similar properties, but like we can just grow this different places. So there are other kinds of sea moss that also produce this carrageenan in other parts of the world. And so it's not all coming from the coast of Ireland anymore. And so they are able to like repopulate that area with sea moss once more.
Okay.
So why are we talking about it in terms of health and wellness today in the year 2024? Well, because of TikTok. And I'm going to tell you what they're saying it can do and whether or not that's true right after we go to the billing department.
Ah, let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the
mouth. So there's a lot of stuff that medical TV shows can get wrong, but I know one of the most disappointing things for me when I started practicing is how uncomfortable conventional scrubs can be. They don't necessarily fit all body shapes really well, and they're scratchy. And that's until I found Figs. So our shifts in the hospital can be really long, or in the office, and you need scrubs that feel good, that fit you well, and they're going to last all day long. Figs make scrubs for the medical professionals of today. They're not like a paper bag. They're not itchy. They feel great. They're so soft and comfortable. They're form-fitting. They're made for the kind of work that we actually do, where we're up and down, we're on our feet. Sometimes I'm sitting on the exam room floor checking out somebody's toenails, and I need to be comfortable while I'm doing it. They're antimicrobial, so you know that you're going to be protected. You can wash them every time you wear them, which is super important. I wash my scrubs, obviously, every day that I wear them. And they look good, so you can look like those cute TV docs and nurses that made us go into medicine in the first place. You can check out tops like the Katarina and the Cade pants. It's an easy, relaxed fit, and then so many cargo pockets, which I can tell you that's the main thing we need, are pockets for our pens, pockets for our notebooks, pockets for my Narcan, pockets for everything. I love Figs. They are so comfortable. And with the work that I do, kind of unconventional out in the street medicine, I need something that feels good all day long. With back to school season upon us, it's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare, or if you're shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, FIGSRX.
I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion thanks to Quince. Now, I know that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you. But when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day. Not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones.
Are you tired of being picked on for only wanting to talk about your cat at parties?
Do you feel as though your friends don't understand the depth of love you have for your guinea pig?
When you look around a room of people, do you wonder if they know sloths only have to eat one leaf a month?
Have you ever dumped someone for saying they're just not an animal person?
Us too.
She's Alexis B. Preston.
She's Ella McLeod.
And we host Comfort Creatures, the show where you can't talk about your pets too much, animal trivia is our love language, and dragons are just as real as dinosaurs.
Tune in to Comfort Creatures every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
What is up, people of the world? Do you have an argument that you keep having with your friends and you just can't seem to settle it? And you're sitting there arguing about whether it's Star Trek or Star Wars, or you can't decide what is the best nut, or can't agree on what is the best cheese?
Stop doing that. Listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal, only on Max Fun.
Your topics asked and answered objectively, definitively, for all time.
So don't worry, everybody. We got this.
We got this.
We know that there is this history of it being used as a health food. So okay. It's not hard to imagine that when we have this sort of bias in our culture that if something is old, it must work.
Yeah.
That somebody has rediscovered, rebranded, and repackaged sea moss, and it has kind of caught the attention of especially like wellness influencers who I have to imagine. This is just me sort of, I'm not basing this on knowing these people or what motivates them, but I imagine that part of your job, if you are a wellness influencer on the internet, is you are going to have to try to keep finding new products to tell people about.
Right. That's the churn of capitalism, baby.
One, to stay relevant, to get clicks, and then two, like, that's how you get brand deals and stuff, yeah. Right? Like yeah.
There's also
try a product
you're
and you set, like
you're
it.
Making
and, yeah.
A lot of people make a referral fee on selling stuff.
So there's always going to be an incentive to find and push new products, whether or not they work and whether or not they're needed. This is a whole other question. So sea moss is being promoted on TikTok by a variety of different people who are probably either selling it or connected to groups that are selling it, and then just by people who are like seeing that, buying the product, and then making videos about them trying it. They say that it can help with everything, you know, weight loss, skin health, fertility, gut health. Everybody's trying to fix their gut health on TikTok. There are so many different influencers and products and conversations happening about gut health these days. So there are lots of people talking about how it changed their life, and a lot of them are getting it in the gel form. You can find it in powders, in flakes, dried, just like it looks like a clump of moss, if you prefer. It's sold in some pills, if you just want a pill that you can take that has sea moss in it. None of this stuff, by the way, is FDA regulated.
No, naturally.
None of this stuff, you can't, if you buy any of this, you don't know what you're buying for sure. You don't. It could be any of these different species of moss that I've told you about. Mm-hmm. You'd have to check for sure. If you're trying to get the original Irish sea moss, the Chondrus crispus, you'd have to check. Mm-hmm. And even then, you don't really know what's in any of this stuff. So I should just preface with that. This is what they're saying they're selling you.
But it's a big jar of goop, so who knows?
Dr. Sebi was a big fan of sea moss, which I don't think we've ever done an episode on Dr. Sebi.
The name does not ring a bell.
So an herbalist who promoted lots of different...
Interesting
concepts, never had any medical training, was arrested at one point for claiming he could cure AIDS.
Oh, wow.
And for practicing medicine without a license. So, and also was named Alfredo Bowman, not Dr. Sebi. So the point is, that is probably, you see these sort of like figures in wellness and complementary medicine history who start an idea and then it, like they're building off this history. They try to take it in the modern day and now we've got TikTokers talking about it.
Right.
There is reason to believe that it's in, if we're saying good for you, and when you say like, is something good for you, do you mean, does it have stuff that your body can use? If you mean that, well, yeah, it does for sure. It has lots of stuff your body can use.
Yeah.
I don't know that you need a bunch of that stuff. I don't know what your body, I don't know.
It's a low bar to clear, right? If it's got some fiber in it and there's plant materials in it, so one would assume you can make that argument, right? There's got to be some vitamins in there. Sure.
It's so tough. And you can make the claim.
Is it tough or is it goopy? You need to decide on this right now.
It's goopy, but the claim is something good for you is so hard for me because I don't think we should talk about good or bad when it comes to food generally.
Sure. Because you can get enough of something, right?
Yeah.
If I'm getting too much fiber, I don't know. I'm using that as an example. If I'm getting too much of something, then more of it is not better, right?
Right.
It's not good for me. It could be neutral, maybe, but it's not necessarily good for me.
Well, and it's also good and bad are loaded words to use. The connotation there is that there's a moral property to food.
Okay.
And there isn't because you can, I mean, I think a lot of people would think of bad food, quote unquote bad food, as like fast food, right? Like that would be like, if we could all just poll a bunch of people and say, name a bad food, they might name hamburger or pizza or something. Well, there are things in hamburgers and pizza that your body needs. And if that is your source of nutrition for a meal, I'm not going to sit here and say that's a terrible lunch or dinner or whatever
times,
to have.
There are times when a hamburger is good for you. It would be good for you through that nomenclature,
yes.
Right? That's why it's not helpful is what I'm saying,
it's
right?
It's not a helpful like, – and so you can apply it to anything. So is it good for you? Sure. Yeah. It's got some stuff in it that yes, your body does
if
need.
If you haven't eaten in 2 days, a Twinkie would be like absolutely rocking.
It'd be good for
right?
you.
Right?
It'd
be so good for you right now.
It doesn't necessarily have like, I think there's this idea that there are foods that have qualities that all other foods don't have. And I don't agree with that supposition.
I will also say, and this is like such a recurrent theme on Sawbones that maybe it doesn't bear repeating, but I don't know much about medicine, but I do have some experience with people looking for panaceas that will fix all the problems with your life. And I can say, as somebody who has gone down so many of these like particular rabbit holes, the one thing missing from your life is not in a jar. There is not a one thing that if you just found the right powder or right goop or right shot or right any, well, maybe shot. Once you get into medicine, yeah, I can think of a couple of medicines in my life that like, yeah, really did turn things around. But it's not a nutritional supplement. Like it's probably not. a lot of stuff.
Especially if we're talking about the vague concept of feeling good.
Right.
Because that's not a box you check. That's a whole idea.
Right.
And it changes minute to minute.
Right. You probably need more water. If you have to wash this stuff down with a big jug of water, it may be good for you just because it's getting you to drink some more water.
Not everyone needs more water.
I need more water.
This is a whole other conversation that we
are. Oh, yeah. We need to talk about hydration.
The hydration industry has gone overboard. But like a lot of things that grow in the sea, sea moss absorbs stuff that's in the sea. And that includes a lot of minerals. So you get where this comes from. I mean, it's the same thing. I think we have this like vague idea that seaweed's good for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. I mean, it's based on this same idea. It has a lot of different, it has potassium and vitamin A and C and K and magnesium and iron and calcium. And it's got fiber in it. The caloric content of sea moss is debated in so many different articles because there are people who are like, it's calorie free. And then there are other people who are like, bodybuilders love it because of its calories. As far as I could tell, the actual nutritional, like from the USDA, the nutritional content of sea moss is 5 calories in 2 tablespoons. Do with that information what you will.
Yeah, couldn't matter less, honestly. No.
But no, a lot of people
were
talking about
it. No one
is
the size they are because of sea moss consumption. No. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that right now.
It does. Now, the one thing I didn't mention that list, and that is the focus of good and bad things, it does contain a lot of iodine. And iodine is something that we do need. Mm-hmm. The majority of us get plenty in just your typical dietary intake. You may already know this, but salt in the United States is iodized. I mean, certainly you can get salt that isn't. In West Virginia, you can buy raw milk now, so you can get lots of things, lots of places. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's pretty
exciting. You can do that here now. Yeah. Don't. Please don't.
Why?
Don't do that.
Don't.
I'm sorry, Louis Pasteur. I'm sorry.
We did our best.
But
now, we did our best.
Well, you and I did.
Well, like...
The legislature didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, most of us get plenty of iodine in our diet just from the typical sources, if you're just eating sort of a standard diet. Obviously, there are cases where people are not getting enough iodine, and
they get goiter, right? Is that right?
Yes. There are also cases where you could get too much iodine.
Oh, good. Yeah, good.
Which is important to know if you're considering ingesting a ton of sea moss, right? It contains iodine. I looked through all of the different health claims and then looked for the studies to support each one. So I wanted to go one by one. First of all, immunity, it has a vague claim of, quote, improving immunity. There are no studies I found for that. As far as I could tell, the idea is because it's like mucus. It's the same concept we're basing this on. It will soothe your mucous membranes, and those are where you protect yourself against bacteria and viruses. So, like, it's good for that. So I think this is a remnant of, like, cures like Doctrine of Signatures type thinking. Okay. I couldn't find any studies. Weight loss, everything out there they'll tell you will make you lose weight. That's such an industry to itself. There are no studies. Again, I think the reason people might claim this is because it does have some fiber. So I guess if you ate a bunch, it might make you feel kind of full.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And so you would eat less. There's no study on that.
My experience is true of every substance.
Yes. If you eat a bunch of one thing, you're not going to eat other things.
Yeah, you will be eventually full of that thing. This is interesting, except Oreos, I have discovered. There is not a fixed number at which my consumption systems will say, no more Oreos. No more for me, thank you.
And didn't we talk about this recently? If you were in a food eating contest, what's the food you could eat the most of?
It's my favorite. It's my favorite conversation opener. It's a great icebreaker. If you never tried it, if a conversation is not going well, just ask person, hey, what food do you think you could eat the most of?
If it were, my answer is always lo mein. Yeah. I really think I could eat lo mein without ever stopping. If you needed me to, I don't know why you need me to.
A lo mein prison and you gotta eat your way out.
Could just continue to eat. I might need like 5-minute breaks every now and then, but that would be about it.
I have never willingly put down Oreos. And it's always like there's a part of me, my defense mechanisms have kicked in, and usually it's just I'll take the package and throw it across the room and I'll say, get these away from me. That's what I'll say. So bad.
Just like
get
that.
These away from
See,
me.
See, you're moralizing about food.
No, I'm not. Friggin' eat some Oreos. Y'all, life's hard.
Heart health. I found a lot of people say it's good for your heart. That's such a vague, that means nothing. Mm-hmm. No studies. There were studies on other things that had some of the things that sea moss has in it, and they showed some benefit. So they extrapolated from that also sea moss must be good for your heart health. There are no studies. Mm-hmm. On cancer prevention, no. I get so mad when it starts, when they start talking about cancer.
They got to get there.
So they did a study where they extracted some stuff out of sea moss and they put it in a petri dish with some cancer cells, and some of those cancer cells stopped growing. I couldn't find any replication of this study. It was a very small paper with not a lot of detail. I think they were more concerned with the methods they used to extract the substances from the sea moss. There was like an ultrasound involved. Anyway, this does not prove anything. Gut health. There was a study done in rats that showed it improved gut health.
Okay.
That's all I could find. No human studies. And the authors of that study worked for Acadian Sea, not all of them, but a lot of them worked for Acadian Sea Plants Limited, which sells sea moss. They're anti-HPV. Now, all of the studies that were done to
look... Now, there's a vaccine for that.
Well, that all the studies that I looked at that said, does it block human papillomavirus, which is the virus that can... there's a lot of different...
It can make genital warts.
Genital warts is one strain. There's other strains that can cause cervical cancer. So the Gardasil vaccine, the HPV vaccine, Gardasil is the brand name, prevents the types of HPV that can cause cancer, which is why it is a critical vaccine to get when you are eligible. Please talk to your healthcare provider about the HPV vaccine. It's a great vaccine. All of these studies say this is just to complement that. We're not saying because the vaccine's better. The vaccine's better than this, obviously.
Right.
But they basically used some sort of proxy molecule to stand in for HPV itself in all these studies to see, like, could it prevent HPV? So you would have to actually do studies with HPV. There's no studies. I mean, there are studies, but not that prove this.
Okay.
There are studies that investigate this. There are studies that suggest the need for more studies. And skin. Skin was the biggest claim on TikTok that I found in my personal research. No studies to support this. What I found is that it has sulfur in it, and sulfur is good for killing yeast, and so this is good for your skin. I couldn't even make this work in my head. And also, it has arginine.
Arginine.
Which we talked about on our last episode.
In the gamer pills?
Episode before last, in the gamer pills.
Arginine, that's one of the ones that there's supposed to be some...
We talked about that. And by the way, one of our listeners reached out about the journal Nutrients specifically that we mentioned in the last.
Yeah.
Did you see that email? No. Nutrients now has been put on like a watch list of like journals that publish really questionable information. And its articles are being delisted by PubMed. Okay. So thank you for giving that information.
I'm glad we got that episode recorded before I lost access to that valuable research.
To Nutrients. So that means nothing. So I have no evidence to tell you that it's good for any of these health conditions. It contains some stuff that your body needs. I don't know that you need more of it, and you may be getting plenty of all these things from your typical diet. You don't need a supplement of this. Do you need some sort of specific vitamin supplement? Do you need iodine? That I can't tell you. I'm a podcaster, and I don't know you personally. But you don't need this CMOS supplement, and it may be harmful because of that iodine that's in it. If you take a whole bunch of it, you could get too much iodine. If you have a thyroid condition already, I would not take this without discussing it with your healthcare provider, or just don't take it would be the other option at all. It could cause problems with your thyroid if you have too much iodine. And then the only other thing that I found in terms of risk to this is that it does contain some fiber, and so some people who took a bunch of it were like, I feel kind of gassy and bloated and uncomfortable after I took a bunch of this. So it could do that too. I don't see any benefit from taking a supplement of this. If this is part of your diet, if you're already eating CMOS, great, no problem. But please don't go out and spend money and start taking a bunch of this. And I saw a lot of people suffering to get this gelatinous substance down. I don't know if it was taste or texture or what. There is no reason that you need to do that.
Okay. Well, what am I going to do with all this CMOS?
Did you just in the time that we've been recording this buy CMOS?
No, this doesn't sound good.
You looked at an ad, didn't you?
No, ma'am. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, which is called Sawbones. Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. We really appreciate you being here, and we hope you'll take a moment to tell a friend about Sawbones this week. Hey, I have a podcast and you should hear about it. And just tell everybody. Wouldn't that be nice? So wake up tomorrow and everyone listens to our podcast.
I would love that.
I mean everyone. That is going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.